Friday. I've been waiting for you for a long time. You just saved me when my life came crumbling down.
A familiar issue with a title contending team reared its ugly head last night. Boy, oh boy, Mr. Philip Lindsay, as we hang out live on the rooftop of El Patio. Happy opening day to everyone, those who observe, those who celebrate, and thanks for making us a small part of it, hanging out here until 6 o'clock. But the Nuggets fell to the Los Angeles Clippers by 2 points, 102 to 100. They had a 17-point lead in the first half. The first half was like almost too good to be true. It's like I thought they were going to win by 40 points.
Yeah.
They end up getting down double figures themselves in the second half. And there was some cool maybe individual stuff that happened in the game for someone like Nikola Jokic. But on the whole, the familiar issue rearing its head is the Denver Nuggets have one of the sketchiest bench situations in the entire NBA. And we're near the playoffs. I mean, we're 5-6 games out of the playoffs here, Phil.
No, yeah, it's a big factor right now. It's one of these things that we have to be aware of what's going on. Now, if Jamal Murray is back in the lineup, and you expressed this earlier, it makes things easier even for the bench.
Oh, yeah.
Because now you start to stagger the superstars with the bench play.
Definitely.
Which then makes it a little bit more watered down. And now we're not having an issue like yesterday night where we go into halftime and the Clippers bench had 21 points while we only had zero.
Right. I mean, 21-0. How does that happen? It doesn't get much more glaring than that. And you're right. I'm not expecting this to be as big of a problem. Yeah. You know, in the NBA playoffs, for what you just mentioned, they're going to stagger some starters, and everyone's having to play over their head a little bit right now until Jamal gets back, which, by the way, we're finding out in real time, Jamal's already questionable for tomorrow's game against the Atlanta Hawks.
See, there's something up, Zach. There is something up that went down with Jamal, and I'm still thinking it's the knee.
Yes.
It's the knee, because an ankle, you know, he has played with the ankle. He has had times where he's sprained it, but you sprain an ankle enough, you get used to it. With the knee, when you aggravate something, maybe like some scar tissue floating around, it can make matters worse. On top of that, fluids in your knee, it makes it hard to bend. So I don't know. I'm speculating.
Yeah.
But it's kind of getting serious.
Yeah, and I just don't know how you can follow this story and not have any level of concern. Like, and I see some of it on social media. Like, oh, it doesn't matter. He's fine. He'll be back. Well, it's like, hold on a second. Hold on a second. He's the second best player on the team. Oftentimes in the playoffs, the best player. There's 5 total games left in the regular season. The first playoff game is on the 20th. Today is the 5th. I just don't know how this cannot be. It doesn't matter. Mean you have to be freaking out or hitting the panic button, but at least not somewhat alarmed by the situation with such little time left. Because even if he comes back tomorrow, let's say he comes back tomorrow, he's got 5 games to ramp back up and not just get in basketball shape, but to get in playoff shape.
Yeah.
And he hasn't played since March 21st. And if he doesn't come back tomorrow night, you're talking about the runway just getting less and less to get him ready for liftoff to when their season's on the line. And, dude, this could be a year where your first-round opponent is a 6-game series.
Yes.
And so I just, again, I'm not freaking out, but it also feels like if he does come back, we're one setback away from maybe not getting out of the first round. Maybe not getting. I mean, that's how serious this is, and that's how I'm handling it.
Yeah, but you know what, Zach? I'm thinking about it as well. He's one setback away from it being a disaster for us going into the playoffs, but we're also one setback back away or something happening to Jokic, to KCP, because our bench is so thin. There's no margin for error for any of our starters to get hurt at any time this whole entire playoff run in the 6 games we have left in the season. Is it 6? 5.
5.
Oh, we're already at 5.
There's 5 games left in the year. That's where we're at. It's Atlanta tomorrow night. Then it's Tuesday in Utah. Minnesota on Wednesday. And who knows what's on the line at that point.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing. It's like, what if you're playing for the number 1 seed? And that's Jamal Murray's first game back, or his second game back, or you don't have him at all.
Well, tell me this. In your hearts of heart, is Jamal Murray coming back any this season, or is it just playoffs?
We're going to see him in the regular season. I think we'll see him. I think we'll see him two or three times in the last five games. And if we don't, Phil, if we don't, now it's like brand new level of concern.
Yeah.
Just brand new level of concern.
All right, now I ain't stirred you wrong yet. We will see Jamal Murray. It won't be right now, this game tonight or tomorrow.
Yep.
It will be against the Minnesota Timberwolves.
On Wednesday.
How many more games left do they have after that? Two more?
Two after that.
He needs three games to get kind of acclimated, and that's what it's going to be. The Timberwolves, because they're going to need him. Think he's going to be able to get ramped up with the last two, going to get a break, and then back to the playoffs.
Well, right now the Nuggets are a half game back of the number one seed. A half game currently held by the Minnesota Timberwolves. Last night, Jokic, on a personal front, crossed the 14,000-point barrier for his career.
Wow.
He ended up with 36, 17, and 10. Just insane numbers. Insane. You're talking, he's now 9 triple-doubles behind Magic Johnson for third on the all-time list.
Yeah.
He'll get that in October of next season. But this guy, man, he is...
Is there anything he cannot do?
Outside of posterize someone? Not really. And then he'll find a way to do that once the season two.
Some say that he posterized Wimby.
No. But how about this? This is another wild stat from last night. Our producer Drew sent this morning. The Clippers shot 38% from the field and just 21% from three.
Yeah.
That's the first time the Nuggets lost a game when holding a team under 40% from the field and 25% from three in 10 years. You look at those numbers, you should be winning those games. And you would have. If the bench wasn't so bad, yeah, they would have won. The bench could have been as bad, and if Jamal were here, they would have won. But when both of those things happen, you know, you lose a game like that for the first time in a decade. Not since April 2014 against Memphis. Had the Nuggets allowed a team to shoot under 40% and under 25% from three and still beat them. So that was just rare.
So tell me this. Jamal was out, and we all know that. And we say if Jamal was playing, you know, we'd probably win. But for the Clippers, Kawhi was out as well.
Kawhi was out.
And he's a big-time member, yep, of what goes on.
Oh, he's the biggest time. Yeah, yes.
And so it's like,
I know,
they're kind of equaling each other out, canceling each other out.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough this year.
It is, man.
It's going to be tough.
It's not going to be easy. It's not supposed to be easy.
No.
What is easy is taking the day off of work and heading to Lodo for opening day.
Yeah.
I mean, what an atmosphere. What a scene here.
Come on, y'all. Come on down.
At El Patio Denver, right across the street from Coors Field. There's a DJ on hand, amazing food. The drinks are flowing. It's just a fantastic, fantastic environment here at El Patio. As we shift gears here, wait until you hear the wild company that Nathan MacKinnon put himself into while in Minnesota. That is coming up next.
We're live from the rooftop at El Patio Denver, across from Coors Field for our Rockies home opener party. Here's The Drive with Zach Bye and Philip Lindsay.
From El Patio, Denver, and the vibes are not slowing down at all. The Colorado Rockies across the street are winning at Coors Field.
Uh-oh.
And we are winning at El Patio, Denver here in Lodo. We're going to be here until 6 o'clock. You want to come say what's up, man? We are feeling all kinds of love from so many listeners.
And, yeah.
You know, I just, like, I've told several people this, like, thank you for giving the show a shot. You know what I mean? Because we know we're a new show. We've been around, I think seven, eight months or whatever it's been.
It's flying, though.
It is flying. And we're kind of building our chemistry. You're getting better and better. And for the people that, you know, that hung with us,
yeah,
through the first couple months of the show, we knew it was going to be work.
Yeah, definitely, man. Going back and listening to some of those times that we've talked, I mean, I kind of grimaced at some of the times I've talked. So it's gotten better, man.
It's not supposed to be easy. It's a brand new show. It's a brand new life for you, yeah, and journey for you. And, but I'm thrilled with hearing from listeners like, hey, rock with you guys every day. Hey, you guys are sounding better and better.
Getting
that is just absolutely making my day. And we will be here until 6 o'clock. We are loving this day as it is one of the I think it's the nicest day in Colorado so far in 2024.
Today or yesterday?
Yeah.
Yesterday might have been nicer than today. But with this atmosphere,
right,
hands down is today.
Yeah. Opening day 2024, special right now in downtown Denver. I said going in the break, wait until you hear the wild company Nathan MacKinnon put himself into Minnesota. Nathan MacKinnon had a goal and two assists last night, all right? And there was a lot of guys played well. Drouin played well, handful of folks. Onanen, and I know we'll talk about him in a minute.
Yep.
But last night, Nathan MacKinnon got to 130 points on the season, okay? If you look at the last three decades of NHL hockey, 30 years, all right? These are the guys that have registered 130 points in a season. Nikita Kucherov this year, Connor McDavid last year, hadn't been done before that since Mario Lemieux in the mid-90s. Jaromír Jágr did it in the mid-90s. And Lemieux and Jágr might have been on the same team doing that together, which is just insane. And then Wayne Gretzky did it. And now, make room, legends, because another legend is entering that conversation, and it's Nathan MacKinnon, man.
Nate the Great, man. He is doing some phenomenal things, especially, okay, this year. You know, you ask yourself, can someone get even better than where they have been, right? There's only two people I think of, Jokic and Nathan MacKinnon. All right, those two men, for some odd reason, continue to elevate and dominate. I've been watching some of Coach Prime.
Elevate and dominate.
But it's just, it's awesome to see. It's amazing to see. And he's still got 6 games left.
Yeah, it's impressive. So he can stack even more points on that 130 benchmark, which is certainly carries its own history. But like when I'm thinking of like Mario Lemieux and Jaromír Jágr, Wayne Gretzky, those are like the gods of the game, man.
Yeah.
Those are the guys that
the founding fathers.
They're the shoulders that the current generation stands on. And the fact that Nate is a part of it, I love it for him and I love it for us. So the Avs kept their division title hopes alive. They won in Minnesota 5-2. Shout out Jonathan Drouin. Scored a pair, also had an assist, and also, honestly, took a tally off the board from the Wild on a loose puck that was in front of the Avs' goal following like an on-in giveaway. You're seeing more than just MacKinnon make plays.
Yeah.
You're seeing, and now, as you said earlier, a lot of it is coming from the top line.
That's our star power.
Yeah. Got to get Val back.
We do. Val is missing, but guess what, Zach? With Val being out and us still winning games like we are, and everybody's having to kind of put their hand in the pot, it makes it even better because when Val does come back, and we all know that Val can miss time, come back, and not miss a beat.
Yeah.
That's one thing we know.
Yeah, we saw that.
You know, so I'm excited to see when Val is back, how everything's going to fall into place at the right time. They're hitting stride at the right time before the playoffs start, and Val will be a big reason why we're able to get these wins.
What did you think of Onanen? And what the game he was coming out of and how he played last night?
Stood on his head. He was out there between the pipes doing some great things. Bounce back game. The confidence, that's what he needed for this game, and that's what we got from him. He's one of those guys that he's a confidence builder. He's young.
Yeah.
All right, so he's going to go through his struggles. But having this game against the Wild, it was good to see that. 44 saves. Was it 44 saves?
Yeah. And that was a career high. 44 saves, and you remember the second period in the most previous game. It was hard to watch.
It was.
This time he stopped 17 of 18 in that second stanza and got the win. Avs got the win. Nichushkin did arrive in St. Paul. He did travel with the team to Edmonton for tonight's game, so Avs on a back-to-back. Edmonton, they're a sexy team. They're one of the league's teams. Yeah. They're one of the premier teams in this league right now with one of the premier players in Connor McDavid. Looking forward to see Val back out there tonight. Does Val get on the board in any way, shape, or form with a goal or an assist?
Yes, Val will. Val will have a goal tonight. Come on now. Val, for some reason, he likes to do the freaky stuff. Miss games and just all of a sudden help us win in overtime. Val's a freak.
Yeah. That did happen his first, right? It was like, I think it was two of the first three games back after he came back. He scored overtime winners.
You know who I think of when I think of Val?
Who's that?
Gronk. Gronkowski.
Why?
Because Gronkowski was wild.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He does some wild things.
No question.
And that's how Val is. But Val also knows how to turn it on. And maybe it's just the body build. They kind of look similar on ice and in the football pads.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Dude, being down there on the glass a couple weeks ago for that game against Pittsburgh, I got a new appreciation for just how big Val Nichushkin is compared to everyone else. He's
6'4", right?
I mean, whatever he is.
I think he's 6'4".
He's right around there. But then he's on skates, too.
Yeah.
But it's just his build in general, like the width of his shoulders, just his physical presence out there is just noteworthy unto itself. So we'll see him tonight. And hopefully that helps out the second line, as right now they're just a little bit top-heavy, especially after a game like last night. And then I'll just put this on people's radar. You know, Nikita Kucherov, he's leading the NHL in points, but Nathan MacKinnon is just 3 points behind Kucherov. And the NHL, they give out a lot of awards, all right? One of them is the Art Ross Award, and that goes to the point leader in the NHL. And You don't need that to win the Hart Trophy, because they're oftentimes different human beings who capture each of those awards. But wouldn't that be something if Nathan MacKinnon won the Art Ross Trophy in the same season that he won the Hart Trophy, in addition to him already having a Stanley Cup to his name?
If Nathan MacKinnon can have a strong last 5 games, he could possibly do that. He could possibly do that. If not, he may still either do it. I mean, it's hard to do. But Nate the Great, he would be one to do it. Get an MVP, because he is going to be the MVP.
Yes. Will he ultimately finish the season with the most points and win the Art Ross? I know he can possibly do it.
I think he's going to come up short.
I think so, too.
I think so, too. You know, if he would have continued to, from the start, he had a couple of dead games.
Yes, he did.
He could have done better in those games. We could be saying something different right now.
Yeah, remember he had that 3-game stretch where he didn't score. I'm not sure if he registered a point, but I don't think he did. It was like 3 empty games. But outside of that, and maybe the 1 game that busted up the streak, I mean, he has been as consistent as the sun rising. So we'll see what we're in store for later this evening in Edmonton. By the way, Avs are 5-1 on the road since the trade deadline. Some of those conversations about our fear of going on the road don't make as much sense after this latest stretch, so which is really, really good. All right. Times are tough right now as a Rockies fan in general, but there is a sobering story out there that may have us counting our blessings, and I'll tell you why coming up next. Happy opening day to ya, even if you are not anywhere near downtown Denver. We appreciate you spending a part of it with us, man. It is one of the nicest days of 2024 so far, and the Rockies are across the street. We are at El Patio Denver, and you can throw a baseball and hit Coors Field.
Literally. That's crazy.
Yeah, I could. I don't know if Phil could.
I'm going to have too much muscle if I go past Coors Field.
Oh. Go right over. Throw a football over the mountain.
You know,
in general, and the Rockies are winning right now, last time we checked, and that's good. By the way, hearing Chris Bryant was getting booed.
Yes.
After going 0-3. Dude, you know how bad things have to be if the hometown crowd in Colorado at Coors Field, not in the Bronx, not in Boston, not in Philly, the hometown crowd in Colorado in game number 1 is booing the highest paid player after going 0-3. I mean, you know things are bad surrounding Chris Bryant.
Yeah. But look, Zach, he is the highest paid player. He is not doing well. On top of that, he went on record bad-mouthing some of his teammates and the Colorado Rockies as a whole.
Right.
Fans don't like that.
Yeah, bad tone setter.
No, embrace it. Look, being here in Colorado, the fans will love you if you embrace them. But if you disrespect them, they are not going to be on your side.
Nope.
And that's what you're looking at when you see someone like Chris Bryant out there messing up on the on, on on is it the field? What do you call it?
Yeah,
the baseball diamond.
The diamond, yeah.
The diamond.
Yeah.
Not doing well on the diamond and getting paid so much money to not do anything.
$28 million.
Give me that right now.
Hey, if you're going to get paid $28 million bucks and not be good at your job, you can't talk crap about the team that paid you that.
You can't.
Or your teammates. So, Chris Bryant getting booed there opening day. You know, in general, times are not great right now for the Colorado Rockies. Man, but I'm looking at this other story around the country, and we got to count our blessings. Now, maybe just today, maybe tomorrow we can go back to being mad at the operation.
Yeah.
But today, man, I'm looking at this story. The Athletics, the A's, they are leaving Oakland and will be playing the next three seasons at a minor league ballpark in West Sacramento. This move ends the Athletics' 56-year tenure in the East Bay, Phil.
Wow.
A stretch that included not just a World Series, not just a second World Series, not just a third World Series. They won four World Series. And it would have seemed impossible to tell someone 10, 15 years ago, let alone 25 years ago, the A's will leave. And that community, you will no longer have a ballpark to go to and watch professional baseball.
That's hard. That's hard for fans to listen to.
It is. It's hard
for me to listen.
It's heartbreaking. And so I know we want things to be better here in Denver. People should be complaining about the baseball operation. Yes. People should be, you know, voicing whatever. It's frustrating. But at least we have and probably not going to do this a lot, but a day like today, just want to count the blessings. The fact that Coors Field, yeah, that's the franchise player, but we do have Coors Field. We still have Coors.
Yeah.
We do have a pro sports team. And I don't know, that's probably set the bar really low. But this other story was like, damn, that's awful
really low for an
entire community.
Well, we're almost at rock bottom, Zach. The A's are at rock bottom.
Yeah.
And days like this where we get to be out here, out and about, and have the privilege to party and be together as a unity, you know, unity unit. And have fun.
Yeah.
Like, you can't take this part in what's the word I'm talking about?
Like, for granted?
For granted. Thank you. Had a praying fart.
You're welcome.
CP. you can't take this for granted.
No. And like, days like this are special, man. They are special.
Yeah.
Days like today are special. And I got to ask you, despite being Mr. Colorado, this is actually your first opening day experience.
It is.
What is this like as you're taking it all in?
This is amazing, right? I didn't know that so many people were going to be out here for the first game of the season, a home opener. All right, I should say the home opener. And the Colorado Rockies are not doing well. But it just shows you how much everybody wants to have fun. It shows you how much everybody wants the Rockies to do well, Zach. All you look from the left and right of us, everybody has Colorado Rockies gear.
Yeah, it's true. A lot of
They're
purple,
bad,
yeah.
But they still wear their stuff with pride because that's what Colorado people do. They embrace it through the good times and the bad times, man. So I'm just happy to be here with you.
Yes.
You know, usually I'd be at home like Stoke, like a Grinch.
And guess what? Speaking of Stoke and Josh and Mike and Mark, you know, Mike and Mark adopted a baseball team, the Orioles.
They did.
Stokely and Josh adopted the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah.
You want to know what I think we should do?
Who are we adopting?
Not adopting a damn thing.
Ooh.
I'm a Colorado Rockies fan.
Let's go.
And I will be here in the storm.
Hey.
And I will learn how to dance in the rain. You will not see me wearing Orioles gear. You will not see me wearing Braves gear.
Let's go.
I'm going to wear my tattered Colorado Rockies gear.
Oh, no. Yet. Zach got his shirt on.
We've been through the ringer.
He got it. Into the crowd.
But guess what?
He's crowd surfing.
Tough times don't last, and tough people do, Phil.
Look at them. Sellout.
Not bailing on the Colorado Rockies. Uh-uh. Not today, anyway. Maybe tomorrow. Not today.
Hey, it's just the energy in here, Zach. It's the energy, because I tell you what, if we was back in the office, we'd probably have adopted somebody.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. But how about this? Just told you earlier in the game, after Chris Bryant went 0-for-3, the hometown crowd was booing him.
Yeah.
Guess what? My man just hit a homer and is hearing nothing but cheers. The Rockies are up 6-2. The Rockies are up 6-2. My over's back in play. I ain't cashing out. I was never going to cash out. Come on now. I got diamond hands. I'm not bobbing. Come on.
Chris Bryant got himself a home run. He's probably taking his shirt off, too. Yes. It's in the crowd. What do I have to say now? Yes.
He said, now I can go to the IL in peace. I can go on the injured list with a piece
now
of...
Now I'm hurt.
With some clarity.
Now I'm hurt. I'm not coming back.
Oh, my gosh. All right. We are going to continue to keep it moving here. We are live at El Patio, Denver, right across the street from Coors Field. We're going to be here for about another hour and 20 minutes if you want to come say hello. But we are officially rolling downhill. We can smell the weekend. I can almost taste the beer. If in the last hour you hear me slur my speech, just grade me on a curve. No, we'll hold off until the last break. I will anyway. Phil's already started. Should the Broncos look to the Nuggets when it comes to taking a risk with the 12th pick in the draft? I'll bounce my thinking off Phil coming up next.
This is how we do it.
All the Friday vibes are so real, Mr. Philip Lindsay.
Yeah, it is.
Holy moly. It is a fantastic time on the rooftop at El Patio. It is electric. We have our buddy Jake Shapiro from DenverSports.com. Jake, welcome to the show. The Rockies' day has been like what so far?
It's been a good day, Zach. You know, it started off poorly. I don't think I've ever seen a pitcher throw 41 pitches in the first inning of a ball game and only allow one earned run. But Austin Gomber found a way out of the jam. Chris Bryant got some boos. And then they turned in some cheers, Zach.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't know. Phil, have you ever been booed when you were an athlete?
No, I haven't. But I know a teammate that has. Garrett Bowles.
Yes.
Yeah, what, like... How?
It sucks. It truly does, man, to see somebody work so hard. And the first thing that would happen was a flag would go on the ground, and they say, holding, and then they just start booing because they knew it was going to be on number 72. But a lot of that was not always on Bowles. See, as a running back, it's for me to set him up to be the right to be right. If I'm running outside all the time, it's hard for him to hold on to somebody. So that some of that was my mistake. Now he's getting called for the hold, but I should have set him up better, you know? So it sucks that being in that situation where you're hated, but now for Garrett Bowles, he's loved.
Right. Yeah, it turned around for him. I don't know what Chris Bryant would have to do to have the narrative turn around for him, and he'd have to just consistency, I think, would be the only right answer, right?
Right. And for this case versus Bowles, Chris Bryant's the only one at the plate when he's going up. There's nobody to blame but Chris Bryant.
Right.
Because even though it is a team sport, it's so individualistic, right?
So true.
And I said this, I was kind of pulling around some of our media buddies today. I was like, what would Chris Bryant actually need to do in order to get cut? Like, how bad would he need to play with four more years in the world to Bowlesy? Chris Bryant was an MVP. Top-level player in his sport that has seen this precipitous fall. I think what we need to see from Chris Bryant this year, Zach, and it doesn't need to be an MVP caliber year or even really an all-star caliber year. If he simply just hits 25 to 30 home runs, drives in 75 guys, 80 guys, hits 280, has a respectable season that he can build off of, I think that goes, okay, this guy isn't the villain. The Rockies are the villain for giving him the contract.
Yeah.
This guy's just trying to do his thing.
Yeah.
I like that. Rockies over, under 57.5 wins.
Under. Ooh. Easy under. Their lineup is far better than it was last year. Do not get me wrong about that.
Offensively, right? It has to be.
Offensively, they are better. But they have a problem of having too many outfielders and first basemen and not enough spots to play these guys. So they're going to have to make a move at the deadline, which will likely mean selling, which means they will get worse. That's not even to talk about the fact that this pitching staff is the worst I have seen since I started covering the Rockies. It is so bad. Austin Gomber today is your second starter in reality because Cal Quantrill is really just breaking up Freeland and Gomber because he's a lefty.
Yeah.
Freeland hasn't been able to get any outs really this year. He's your number one starter. Marquez isn't coming back till halfway through the year. Sensatella is a question mark if he's coming back at all from Tommy John. So your two starting pitchers, your best starting pitchers, are likely not going to be a real big factor this year.
Yeah.
And their depth just isn't there. And they don't have any big-time pitching prospects coming up. So what this means with the Rockies' poor bullpen is Kyle Freeland will be taxed. Daniel Bard will be taxed to the max this year. And I wouldn't be surprised if these guys get injuries based off of fatigue, which means we are going to be seeing even worse pitchers at Coors Field at some point this year. And, you know, today, funny enough, they came in today with an 8.32 staff ERA. Yeah. And I think today was the fewest runs they've allowed this season.
Which is
they're at three right now in the ballgame.
Jake, wow. Is there any kind of light at the end of this tunnel for the Colorado Rockies? Not just for right now. We know that they're bad right now. But moving on forward.
What are you hoping for?
That's a good question.
You know?
It's a good question.
I guess for me, it's like you see the Colorado Avalanche and what they're doing. You see the Denver Nuggets and what they're doing. We see that what can be for the Denver Broncos if they get things right at the quarterback position. But for the Colorado Rockies, we haven't done anything to help this team out from last year. Exactly nothing. I want to see us going in the right direction with younger players, right? The Rays, we've talked about it.
Yep.
The Rays find ways to win, even if they don't cough up the money, even if they don't have the talent or the money up front to give people, they find ways to be competitive.
Yeah, so where you're at right now with the Avalanche and the Nuggets, and I know they've only each won one title, but I think it's fair to say, if not the best team in their sport the last five seasons, they've been one of the top three teams the last five seasons in their sport.
Correct, yeah.
I don't think we'll ever get to a point with the Rockies where they are sustained the number one, number two, or number three team in the sport for five seasons in a row.
Yeah.
I do not think we'll ever get there with the Rockies. Can the Rockies even win a division? Well, the one chance they had to top the Dodgers, Dick Monfort did not go all in at that trade deadline with Jeff Reinisch. They needed to acquire precisely one left-handed pitcher to get Yasiel Puig out in a game in L.A. with two runners on base,
God
and they did
almighty.
Not get that out.
Yeah.
And Scott Oberg was the guy who's the best reliever they've developed in the last 10 years.
Scott Oberg!
They didn't get that out, and they go to 163. They lose 163, and you guys know the rest of the story from there. I do think there's a world in which the Rockies double down on drafting and developing. Jeff Reinisch was actually low-key really good at this. They developed all those really good pitchers they've had the last decade when Jeff was in charge of the draft and then Jeff in charge of the general manager position as a whole. So can they get back there? Yes. But this stuff in the Rockies organization is so rotten that you have to go back to them not drafting Evan Longoria, not drafting Clayton Kershaw,
Jake.
Because Casey Weathers, the guy they drafted, quote, seemed like the kind of guy that would take your kids to Sunday school. And that justified a top five pick. So the stuff going on within this organization is so backwards that they need outside voices. And to this point, they have not been able to bridge that gap and say, we are finally going to say we are getting outside voices.
What did you make of Walker Monfort's comments to Jacob Toby of nine? Oh, is Jacob Nine News?
Jacob Toby Nine. Yeah,
yeah, Toby Nine. I like him in the limited interactions that I've had. But he had a conversation with Dick Monfort's son. Did you see those comments?
Yeah, and for many people, this might be the first time they've seen Walker Monfort.
Yes.
Let me tell you, as someone who's been day to day covering the Rockies at times, I'm familiar with both Walker and Sterling pretty well.
Okay.
So I wasn't quite caught off as guard with Walker's comments as other people because they're like, oh my God, Walker's Dick. Walker's Dick Monfort.
Right, you're right.
I already knew that. Like, there's no surprise there for me. Sterling is running a lot of the business side of things. In fact, he owns a lot of land that we're currently broadcasting from El Patio. He owns a lot of the land in this area. Walker's more involved in the baseball side of things, obviously a Nepo hire, and he's going to be involved in the baseball ops department. I think they are jaded in how they get to winning, but at least they want to win, and they do spend money. They do spend money. People think they don't spend money.
It's a
they
bad narrative.
Spend money. Yeah.
They just don't spend in the right spots.
Correct.
Because they don't have the people in their organization telling them no, telling them this is the way you should go about it. So if the Rockies do what they did under Jeff, which is we're just going to draft a bunch of pitchers because eventually some of these pitchers are going to work out, kind of like some of the people are talking about right now with the Broncos.
Yeah.
What if they just draft three quarterbacks this draft or two quarterbacks? Because one of them must be good.
Find out who's better.
Well, there's five pitchers that can play any single game, so that will work a little bit better in baseball than the one quarterback, right? So that's the strategy that will eventually pull the Rockies out of this situation. But given their farm system right now and how little talent it is, especially on the pitching side, we are so far from them being competitive within the division. Baseball has expanded its postseason, meaning if they win 83, 84 games, they have the possibility of making a wild card run. And Zach, I know you're smiling because I know you just saw what I did. If you want to just end my conversation you know, if they get to 83, 84 wins, which is a possible thing that can happen, not this year, but in the near future, they can make a postseason run. Will it actually go anywhere? Well, baseball's fluky. I have no idea what's going to happen batter to batter, pitch to pitch.
That's
game
baseball.
To game.
That's baseball.
Right.
What did you think that I saw?
The game is tied 6-6 now.
The Rockies were up 6-2.
Going just into like the ninth.
Oh, no.
And just like that.
If this is how opening day ends, I'll tell you what. Oh, my gosh. And here's what's about to happen. So we're doing this together for the first time, right? It's a new time slot. We're together in our first year.
Yep.
We're about to see about 50,000 people come out of that stadium and hit the street. And if you think it's crazy right now, wait until 2 hours from now. This is, Jake, I've been around the country for baseball games, Baltimore, Boston, New York.
Everywhere.
You know, I'll put up opening day against anyone here in Denver. Anyone, any market. I'll put opening day in Denver, Colorado up against any major market in the United States of America.
You know, New York, the Canyon of Heroes, the ticker tape parades, obviously they do holidays very well. I would argue for a non, you know, New York size city, Denver does holidays in general just as well as any other city on the planet. And the thing with Denver with opening day is opening day is a holiday here.
Yes.
It is religion.
Yes.
And what people don't understand, and I know Phil and I are the same age, so, you know, our generation doesn't understand that. While I was watching Phil play and Phil was studying the playbooks, I was studying history books.
Yeah.
And people don't know that Denver has such a rich history of baseball. This was not a football town until John Elway took him by the neck and said, this is a football town, and they started winning games.
Yeah.
This has long been a baseball town, a baseball-first city, and there's a long tradition past down from father to father of people caring about baseball, and you could make the case that today, 2024, this is the least interested the city of Denver has been in baseball. But you know what you just said? People are going to be walking out of that stadium either sad that the Rockies blew it, or there's going to be a walk-off today.
Well, speaking of baseball towns, we talked to...
Oh, this is good.
Go ahead. You do a better job of we've talked about this with Josh and Will today.
Yeah.
And Zach asked me this. If the Rockies were as good as the Colorado Avalanche and the Denver Nuggets, and the Denver Broncos were as good as the Colorado Avalanche and the Denver Nuggets, who in the hierarchy, who's number one, who's number four?
The Broncos would be like the Burj Khalifa up there, let's be clear. I mean, they're so far away up in the sky.
Yeah. Oh, well, hold on, you're going highbrow on us. Burj Khalifa.
It's the tallest building in the world.
And that's Saudi Arabia?
It's Mount Everest. Yeah, it's in Abu Dhabi.
Okay.
So
that's the world's tallest building.
Yeah, let's just say it's Mount Everest. The Denver Broncos are Mount Everest when they're cooking. You're not touching it. Can the Denver Broncos can the Colorado Rockies be Pikes Peak? For sure. And the Avalanche and the Nuggets at that point look like little molehills. Like, the Rockies, and that's just to my point, the Rockies are the biggest thing in this town besides the Broncos when they are good. And
so
when
you
they
believe
matter.
That? So if all these teams are good at the same time, interest level would go Broncos and then Rockies.
Yeah, I think the Rockies base is huge. I think the most people across all of the generations, across all of the different teams, for some odd reason, people here are like Lakers and Broncos fans, or like they like the Avalanche but not the Broncos. Like it's no one has that with the Rockies. Everyone likes the Rockies. They're just like, these guys stink.
Yeah.
There's no actual dislike of the Rockies. There's
right.
Cubs fans and Yankees fans here, sure. But it really is a Rockies town, square and center. So I think the Rockies are by far and away the biggest, second biggest team. And all you have to do is look at the stadium size. Coors Field fits 50,000 people. And that thing gets filled up every single weekend and a lot of weeknights as well. People are still interested in that product and experience, even though what it is right now.
And you can go back to the inaugural Rocky season where they're playing in a football stadium, and they filled that too. To this day, the largest single season attendance in Major League Baseball history, excluding no one, put everyone there. It's the Colorado Rockies before they had Coors Field and were playing. Because they would fill every seat still. I think it was over 3 million.
4 million
or,
fans.
Four. That's incredible.
1 year. Four, and they would have done it back-to-back years had there not been a strike in 1994. 4 million fans. And guys, the state of Colorado right now, you know, there's about 1.5 million, 2 million people who live in Denver, 5 million people in the state of Colorado. Colorado is not that big. There were more people going to a Rockies game in a single year through gate attendance than lived in our state.
That is incredible.
So then who's 3 and 4 then?
If you had asked me this a year ago, I would have said the Avalanche are 3, the Nuggets are 4.
Okay.
I think based off what I saw at the parade, based what I've seen out of the Nuggets fan base, I think the Nuggets fan base in volume has passed the Avalanche fan base, but the Avalanche fan base is second to only the Broncos in terms of passion.
I think I agree with that.
And you know what? Will Peterson, our guy, just wrote for DenverSports.com about this, the Colorado Polling Institute. The only team more favorable in the city of Denver than the Broncos are the Colorado Avalanche. People really view the Colorado Avalanche favorably in this town.
Well, we have some great listeners. What kind of jersey is that?
That's back in the high school.
So that's a Philip Lindsay Denver South jersey?
Yeah, back in high school.
Oh, my gosh. We have got to get a picture with you and that. Why don't you just put your headset down for a minute and just go take a picture with him.
Yeah, I got you.
And I'll post it on because that is really cool. Jake, it's interesting to hear different Denver people like yourself. Because, like, I dove headfirst into Denver sports over 7 years ago. And, you know, but I just don't have the context. I do not have the context of, you know, a life lived here.
So October 2009.
Yes. And I learn about it just like you did in a history book about, you know, World War II or something, you know. And I do, and I love learning about it. I truly do with all of our teams. But I wasn't here, so I can't speak to it with the first person nature, and I won't try to because I don't want to misrepresent myself. But it's interesting to hear me ask that question to, I'm taking selfies live on the air here.
That's a good one, Zach. I like it.
Tag me. It's interesting when I ask Will Peterson, who has the same similar perspective of you, Josh Dover, who's lived here for the last 34 years, I think, of his life, and people have different answers. They have different answers. And I actually think that is cool, that someone with Denver roots like yourself, or well, you're not technically from here. I mean, how long have you lived
I've
here?
I've lived here 15 years now.
Okay,
so,
15 years is a long time.
Yeah.
It's cool because there's arguments to be made on behalf of the Nuggets, on behalf of the Avs, on behalf of what you've seen from the Rockies' interest when they're at their peak, and certainly the Broncos. So, I love it.